conference call. Now we will be moving on to our next session, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, which will be given by His Grace Jayananda Gauranga Prabhuji. So on Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, Text 10, before going to the Bhagavatam class, I would like to hand over the call to Suresh Shyam Prabhuji for giving brief introduction about His Grace Jayananda Gauranga Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Suresh Shyam Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances of all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association and for all your services. Please take up the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Here is a brief introduction about Prabhuji. His Grace Jayananda Gauranga Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji took to Krishna consciousness while at college. Prabhuji did his undergraduate at BITS Pilani, doctoral at Texas A&M, and postdoctoral work at the University of Wisconsin, Madison. He has been chanting 16 rounds for over 20 years. Prabhuji is well versed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Prabhuji has read Chaitanya Charitamrita over 50 times, Hari Bol. He has been doing edifications of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam for the Bhakti Vriksha programs. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, back to you, Mataji.
Mataji, you are muted, Mataji. Mataji, you are muted.
Okay, sorry, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Suresh Shyam Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a brief introduction. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Jayananda Gauranga Das, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association. And your classes are really nectarian with all your PPTs. It's really wonderful. So every time you come, we get new points from your class. So we are eagerly waiting for your class. So over to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you to Vinita Gandharvi Mataji for inviting. Really appreciate being here. Okay. You're able to see the screen, Mataji, the PowerPoint?
It's still loading, Prabhuji.
Okay.
Yeah, for us it came, Mataji, it came for me, maybe your internet. Yeah, you could see.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Narayanam, Namaskritya, Naram Chaiva, Rottamam, Devi, Saraswati, Vyasam, Tato Jayam, Udirayet. Nashta Prayeshu, Abhadreshu, Nityam, Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavati, Uttama Shloki, Bhakti, Bhavati, Naishtri. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशिलायाः चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुः नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे I offer my humble obeisances and to all the Vaishnavas assembled here. So the verse for this morning is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, verse number 10. Murtinah Puru Krapaya Babhar Sattvam Samshuddham Sadasadidam Vibhati Tatra Yel Leelam Vigapati Radhade Navatvayam Adatum Svachana Mamamsi Udara Viryaha. Read the verse once more. Murtim Naha Puru Krapaya Babhar Satvam Samshuddham Sadasadidam Vibhati Tatra Yel Leelam Vigapati Radhade Navatvayam Adatum Svachana Mamamsi Udara Viryaha. The translation goes as, this manifestation of subtle and gross matter exists within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of causeless mercy towards His devotees, He exhibits various forms, which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord is most liberal, and He possesses all mystic power to conquer the minds of His devotees and give pleasure to their hearts. He appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes. There is a short purport where Prabhupada specifically cites Jiva Goswami's purport for this particular verse in his commentary for the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Jiva Goswami has translated this verse as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. It is by his will that gross and subtle ingredients interact. He appears in various incarnations just to please the hearts of his pure devotees. For example, the Supreme Lord appeared in the transcendental incarnation of Lord Varaha, the boar, just to please his devotees by lifting the planet Earth from the Garbhodaka ocean. So this is the purport that appears for this verse. So there are multiple features in this verse. And what I thought that we could do is that we could take up the central tenets of all this translation and this purport and then build this discussion. So the first aspect that we could discuss today is that the Lord appears to please his pure devotees. So this first example, the first two, three examples actually are cited from a lecture by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. It's a lecture related to this subject where it is said that everything was finished and there was no land for the king Satyavrata. So who was King Satyavrata? King Satyavrata, he appeared in the previous cycle, Manvantara cycle, not the Chaturyuga, the previous cycle of the Chakshusha Manu. At that time, after that, there is this inundation. And then that King Satyavrata then is then born in this current cycle as the current, this Manvantara's, this Manu, okay, the seventh Manu. Chakshusha Manu is the previous one, the sixth one. So the Lord appears as Matsya, has appeared in Matsya at least twice, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. He also appeared once in the first Manu, the Swayambhuva Manu. And then during the period of the Chakshusha Manu, the last, at the end, there was King Satyavrata. And he, at that time, this King Satyavrata, in the next cycle, is going to be born as Vaivashvata Manu, okay, or Shraddha Deva. So this King Satyavrata, so at the end of that previous millennium and before the beginning of this millennium, so millennium means this Manvantara, that's what I mean here. There was a massive inundation with water, okay, that there was really nothing left. And at this time, there was this, King Satyavrata with all the, with some denizens and who were living at the time with some herbs and medicines that were all loaded into the boat with some animals, species. They were all in this massive boat. And then there was this massive unlimited ocean of devastation. Okay. At that time, there was no hope. There was no hope. Everything was, there was no land. And all there was left was this massive inundation. At that time, the Lord appears as this giant golden fish called as Matsya. And then he spoke the Vedas to the king. And so the context in which this appears is that when there is a desperate need by a pure devotee, the Lord appears. And in this case, he not only appears, but the appearance is so beautiful that it pleases the pure devotee. So it serves, the appearance of the Lord serves multiple purposes. He comes at the need of desperate, that when the devotee is really, pure devotee is really desperate and needs the help, the direct help of the Lord. And at the same time, with his beautiful incarnation like this, he also pleases the hearts of his pure devotees. So this is example number one. A second example where the Lord appears, the reason why we're talking about this is because this translation talks about how the Lord appears in different times, in different forms. Okay, he appears, these are the things that are there in this verse, that he appears in different forms and he does this for his devotees. So there are two, there are a couple of things. Okay, so the second example here, this is also from the same lecture of His Holiness Radhakrishna Swami Maharaj. So that the Lord, here he talks about Lord as Kurma Dev. Again, there was a very critical situation and the situation was hopeless because the Devas, they have practically lost everything. They have practically lost everything and they were there in this tussle with the Asuras and they were practically losing everything. At that time, to save the situation, after the desperate prayers, Lord appeared as Kurmadev. And again, it is a wonderful form. And when everyone was screaming and praying and crying out for help, the Lord, and here is the Mandara, the mountain, the Mandara mountain. And here the serpent is there, the Vasuki, the Devas on the one side, the demons on the other side. And the Lord is the bottom of this mountain for the churning. And he appears as Kurma. And there are temples of Kurmadev in India. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has visited temple of Lord Kurma. And he even stayed in the house of the priest who was called as Kurma Brahmana. And Lord Kurma, he performed this amazing pastime where the churning of the milk ocean happened. And there are many, many during when you, in the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are during the churning of the milk ocean, he appears in various forms actually. So there is, he appears as Lord Kurma. Later to save the situation, he again appears as Mohini, again to save the situation and at the same time to please the pure devotees. So the third example is actually cited in this verse, which is the translation of given by Srila Jiva Goswami, and where Jiva Goswami says that the earth was in the bottom of the Garbhodhaka ocean, okay? And Hiranyaksha was again terrorizing the universe. At that time, the Lord appears as Lord Varaha, okay? He appeared as the boar. And in that situation, everything was again hopeless. And then he lifted the earth with this tusk, and he delivered Hiranyaksha. And so it's not only to save the situation, but also to please the devotees. He's appeared as, he can appear to save the earth. He doesn't have to appear as Lord Varaha, but that's how he appears. That is his pastime. That is his, that is how he gives the Lord. It eternally exists in this form. And he appears in this beautiful form as Lord Varaha. And to the pleasure of his pure devotees. And he performs these amazing pastimes. The fourth example is Lord Nrisimha. Again, Hiranyakashipu was terrorizing the entire universe and he was about to kill his most exalted of all devotees, Prahlad. Again, here he appears out of a pillar in this most amazing form, which is which devotees are always enamored about. And so Lord Narasimha appears for his pure devotee. The seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam entirely deals with this subject. But there are also some other verses about Lord Narasimha and other cantos too. Even in the fifth canto, just a few chapters ahead, if you would recollect from these morning discussions, that there are denizens of the different nine varshas of the Jambudvipa, the innermost dvipa. There is one varsha where they, the denizens of that varsha, pray to Lord Narasimha. And that's a very famous verse. If you all remember that verse, to the best of memory, it starts something like Om Bhagavate, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, and then it ends with Om Shram, which is the Bija Mantra for Lord Narasimha. And it's so there are other cantos also where there is Lord Narasimha's prayer. So that's a very famous verse in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and widely cited when and prayed by the devotees when they have some acute problem, and it is prayed by devotees. It's you would, if you get a chance, please look at the verse. Very nice verse. It starts with Om Bhagavate, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimha, yeah, in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the description of Jambudvipa. Then, this is the fifth example. This one is actually from the commentary of the Srimad Bhagavatam from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, so he says, why did the Lord perform such heroic deeds, such as lifting the Govardhan hill? Okay, and he says it's to capture the elephant minds of his devotees. That's the reason with Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. And that is actually what is mentioned in this verse too, that he performs, he comes in various forms. And here Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he actually cites Krishna, and he says that why did Krishna have to lift the Govardhan hill? To capture the minds of his devotees. Because he can stop the rain, thunder in so many other ways, but which was going to inundate Vrindavan. And he also says that he was visible to the denizens of Vrindavan to please them, to please the devotees, for the pleasure of his devotees. Even Krishna pleases his devotees in so many ways, and that's how he interacts with them. And this example 6. So this is Markandeya Rishi, sage Markandeya. The water had inundated the earth, the outer space. This is in the end of the 11th, this is actually in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, towards the end. So even as Markandeya looked on, okay, so water had inundated the earth, the outer space, the heaven, and the celestial region. Everywhere it is inundated. And that was a wish of Markandeya Rishi too. And indeed, there, because he wanted to see this kind of a devastation. It was a dangerous wish, but he had this wish, and this happened. Indeed, the entire expanse of the universe was flooded in all directions. So I just took some gist of it. This is from the entire chapter, but I just took some gist of it to show this amazing form. And out of all its inhabitants, there is only Markandeya Rishi, although the sage Markandeya alone remained. So sometimes he felt lamentation and bewilderment. So this is, see, this inundation. And here is sage Markandeya. And sage Markandeya is just lost in this ocean. And at that time he was, millions of years have passed. Okay. And then there was lamentation, there's bewilderment, misery, happiness, fear, and at times he experienced such terrible illness and pain that he himself felt dying. So it also, these kind of moments also describe the moments when somebody is at the moment of dying, and countless millions of years have passed in this kind of inundation. At that time, sage Markandeya, he discovered, even in this dark time, there was no light. It was absolutely dark. And then there was no sun. There was no light, illumination. And then lost in this water, there was nothing to eat. There was just, his body is there still. By his own prowess, he still has his body, the only surviving person in the, and then served. At that time, there was mystically an island. And in that island, there was a banyan tree. Upon the banyan tree, there was an infant boy. And this boy was blue in complexion, with illuminating the light. And in this dense darkness, sage Markandeya saw this little boy, Krishna, lying on this leaf. And this infant, as sage Markandeya was looking at this infant in amazement, this blue boy suddenly took his graceful fingers, okay, and placed his toe within his mouth and began to suck. And this form, there are deities actually of this form, and in the south also there is a deity. It's the deity is there in a temple called, in a place called as Sri Valliputtur. And here is a big temple, and the deity's name is called Pata Patra Shai. Pata is this leaf, this banyan leaf. Patra, banyan, and Patra is leaf. Shai means lying down. Pata Patra Shai. And where he's lying down on this leaf, okay, and it's that is the name of the deity. And in this way, there are this is a very famous pastime, and the sage has been praised by Lord Shiva and for his devotion towards Krishna. Parvati Devi and Lord Shiva have appeared personally from Kailash and have praised this sage for his devotion. And for him, even in this inundation, the Lord appears as this little boy and blue in color and out of utter desperation. But even there, you can see that Krishna does these things that are not very easily imaginable by taking his little toe and putting in his mouth and giving pleasure to his devotees. These are his, and then after that, this vision disappeared for Sage Markandeya. So this is a famous pastime in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then there are other things I also mentioned. The point that and the Lord, we can see that, you know, for the after the prayers of Mother Aditi, you know, he also appeared as Lord Vamana when things were desperate. He appeared as Parashuram, as Sri Ramachandra Prabhu. And after the age of this, after Kali, this Kali Yuga, when things are so hopeless, at that time, he appears as Lord Kalki. So, but in each of these pastimes, we find that the devotees are really crying out urgently from their hearts for the Lord's shelter. So at this time, we also remind ourselves of Advaita Prabhu, where he cried desperately, foreseeing what is going to happen in this age of Kali. And the Lord appeared in his original form as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Lord Gauranga. And the Lord appears, so he appears in our hearts, he appears as a deity, he appears visible, he appears in various forms to his devotees, and then we are very eager to hear about him, just like King Parikshit, okay? And here Prahlad, we see that he just took his name, and then Krishna appears as Lord Narasimha. And Matirna Krishna, so Krishna appears as in various forms after. So in every occasion, he has appeared when there is the need. But at the same time, when he appears, he also pleases his devotees. And by doing different activities, which are not very fathomable for so the next aspect of this particular translation is that the manifestation of the gross and subtle matter are within the Lord. That's another aspect in this translation. So here, Narada Muni, this is actually cited by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says that both the spiritual form of the Lord has the eternality, which is Sat and Asat, reside. So we have to understand this in, from various perspectives there. When we say the manifestation of the gross and subtle matter appear within the Lord, it can be confusing to someone who's reading this, because the Lord is all spiritual. And how is that that there is something which is matter within the Lord who is all spiritual? There is nothing. So since the gross matter, the subtle matter or the modes of material nature cannot touch the Lord, and the Lord is aloof from matter, then how is it that is said that the manifestation of this can exist within the Lord? So here we are going to see this from different perspectives and understand this. And that is a beautiful thing about Vaishnava lineages as well. The different Vaishnavas have also had different, they appreciate different aspects of the Lord. And none of it is really wrong, but they're all built together. And that is why we have different sampradayas as well. We have the a sampradaya through Ramanujacharya called as called Sri Sampradaya. Then you have one through Rudra Sampradaya. Then you have Kumara Sampradaya. And then so in this way, everybody have seen different facets of the Lord, and all of them, they if you put together, you can see so many beautiful things in it, and they all actually qualify different verses. They all explain different verses in different ways, and they all fit together. So this is in, I took this from Canto 7, Chapter 9, Verse 36. It's a very famous verse, which we all, where if you all have heard the lectures, where the word appears called as Maya Maya. So where the form of Krishna, there the word Maya Maya is used here for his Virata Rupa. So seeing the Brahma, actually seeing this form, so he sees this form of Krishna, but then there's this unique word there called as Maya Maya. Okay, so that he appears. So Madhvacharya has commented on this verse on 7.9.36, and he says that it requires perfect knowledge to be actually able to see this form. So here is the form where this is the universal form. So this is called as the Virat Rupa. This also appears in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is said that this is not the eternal form of the Lord, but there are devotees who have meditated on, because it is comprised of all the universe, all the planets and everything are limbs of this body of the Lord. Okay, are limbs of the body of this Lord. And therefore, in a sense, it is not considered as the eternal form of the Lord, because it spans, the form of the Lord itself is comprised of all the different planets and all the living beings. They're all there along the body of this Lord. So this Virat Rupa, which is the entire creation in the form of the Lord itself. Okay, so that is referred here. And the word that is used here, Madhvacharya says that it is not just referring to it as just some kind of, some imagination alone. That even that form is actually visible. It is temporary, because there is creation and then there is destruction. So when there is annihilation, at that time, this form, Krishna will be visible in this form. But then it still requires a pure devotee to be able to see the form of the Lord in this form. And the philosophy of Prishishtadvaita also is pretty much taken a lot from, there is a heavy stress on this particular concept here, Prishishtadvaita, which is qualified non-dualism of Ramanujacharya. And when he expounded this, so he said, he talks about how all the planets and the living beings, both asat, sat, everything forms the different parts of the body of Lord Narayana himself, who's lying in this form. So at the same time, it's a central tenet of Vishishtadvaita. In fact, an analogy is used there by saying that how our soul, just as how we have a body, and then we have just as how our body is to our soul, in the same way, all the planets the matter, which is all asat, forms the body of the Lord, and the soul of that is Narayana himself. So that is the analogy that they draw. But anyway, it refers to this universal form. But we have to understand all these things in a context, because if you don't understand in the context, it looks like as though the Lord doesn't have a spiritual form, but that is not true. So here, a clarification is also given in Achintya Bheda Veda, where the Lord is distinctly different from his creation. And at the same time, everything is part and parcel of the Lord as well. So that is the, so this, that the material creation is seen as not just as a structural part of the Lord, but as a functional part, which is the energy emanating out of the energetic Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord is a Shakti, Shaktiman, and the energy as a Shakti. So when we look at the Bahiranga Shakti, the external energy that is manifesting out of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is a separated part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that means that there is a difference in the sense that there is energy and the energetic. But in essence, everything is together is also Krishna. So there is a oneness, Advayam. There is a oneness. Okay. So, and at the same time, there is simultaneously the energy is distinctly different from the energetic. So in this way, the manifest. So that is why Prabhupada, you see the careful use the words here. He also says the manifestation of the subtle and the gross matter. He's not just saying, Prabhupada is not just translating this as just gross and subtle matter are within the Lord. The manifestation of the gross and subtle matter are within the Lord. So this manifestation, okay, so there is this the Bheda aspect and the Abheda. So when we say that the manifestation of this are within the Lord, we are talking about that all this, the Abheda aspect, where everything is actually one and within, there is nothing beyond Krishna. There's nothing beyond Krishna. And at the same time, it is the energy of Krishna. The energy and energetic simultaneously. So when we talk about energy and energetic as separate, then we can see the Bheda, but then together also you have the Abheda part. So the but in a sense, this kind of when we see the material variegatedness, that part is still an illusion. When we see the material variegatedness, that part is still an illusion. And what we ought to see is when we see that things are in connection with Krishna, then all these planets which are on the body of the Lord will show its true form as spiritual, because in essence everything is spiritual. So that is so for example, when we see the different planets on the body of the Lord, if we with our vision, we are not actually able to see this form. Arjuna was also able to see a Virat Rupa. And Brahma here in this verse 7.9.36, he saw a Virat Rupa. And so people in different times, by the mercy of the costless mercy, that word is also there in this translation, by the costless mercy of the Lord, they have been able to see this form of the Lord, but they are able to see the spiritual form of the Lord. All these universes, they are all part of the spiritual world. But because of our faulty eyes, our chakshu, our eyes are all faulty. And we are able to see that only through our material vision. So we are not able, we are neither able to see the Lord, nor able to see it as part of the Lord. But for the advanced pure devotee, by the costless mercy of the Lord, they are actually able to transform this matter into spirit and able to see the universes as it is, as part and parcel of the Lord. So in a sense, even when we say that this Virat Rupa is the form that is comprised of the different universes are all part and parcel, but still we should understand that at the end, there is actually no matter. There is only spirit. And that is the Abheda. The Abheda aspect tells us that there is actually only spirit and there is no matter. And for the pure devotee who is transcended the material platform, is able to see the things as it is, as part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all as spirit. So that means, like, even when we see this universe, the way in which we see this could be illusion. But there is this world actually appearing as part and parcel of the Vaikuntha planet, which is spiritual, and that is part of this spiritual form of the Lord. So in one sense, this is a material form. So if there is any objection to the statement that how is it that the universe, which is comprised of both Sat and Asat, and how is that matter there in the form of the Supreme Lord? Here is the refutation for that objection, that the vision with which we are seeing is material. But then if we are able to transcend that vision and move it to spiritual, then we can see that all of this is in fact spiritual, then dovetailed to Krishna. So this is the next aspect of this translation. Okay, so the next one is that that the Supreme Lord is the most liberal. That's another thing, very part of this translation. So here I took this actually from Krishna book, chapter 80, where Prabhupada again cites this. Actually, the word liberal appears in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but here I took from Krishna book. So where the Prabhupada says that Krishna is so kind and liberal that he immediately gives everything. We are not liberal, but Krishna is very liberal. That Krishna, he even gives his personal self to any person who surrenders unto him. So Krishna is so kind and liberal that he immediately uses the word, Prabhupada uses this word liberal so many times in that chapter. That's why I took this. So he's so kind and liberal that Krishna immediately gives everything. And his person, okay, so he will not hesitate to award someone the material benefits for the bare necessities of life. So the devotees do not need to be concerned whether they have amenities for their life next day, next month, because Krishna will not hesitate to provide whatever is needed for our living. Krishna will not hesitate to provide. He will provide more than what is needed for our bare necessities of life. That is not something that we have to struggle for. So one, and he will give certainly sufficient riches so that one can live comfortably. So the corollary to this statement here is that if one's attachment to Krishna is going to drop because of these riches, it is then that he takes away. It is then he takes away this, riches, and that is again called as the causeless mercy. And that's what is seen in the previous chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is said that Krishna will take away the riches of the people who are not very very firm, very fixed in their devotional service. At that time, he takes away, but it is not his priority to take away the riches of his devotee. That is not the priority is for the devotee to be fixed in devotional service. And once the devotee is fixed in devotional service, then Krishna has given them so much riches, made them so opulent, but the devotee does not care about it. For example, if you look at the Pandavas, they had the entire planet under their rule. You see that King Dhruva Maharaj, he not only gave, he had the planet to rule, but he also gave him a new planet. All the riches, it's been freely awarded to, because the goddess of fortune resides in the heart of Lord Vishnu. And when someone prays to Lord Vishnu, automatically they get they are being seen by the goddess of fortune herself. And that is there in the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Where in the churning of the milk ocean, the purport reads there that when Lakshmi Devi came out of the ocean and she resides in the heart of Lord Vishnu, at that time, those who prayed to Lord Vishnu, Lakshmi Devi also will see them. So anytime we pray to Lord Vishnu, we automatically get the blessings of Lakshmi Devi, who is eternally there in the heart of Lord Vishnu. In this way, Supreme Lord is most merciful. So if you can just imagine here, all the things that is going on in this world, it's a terrible situation. And in spite of this, Krishna has let us do all the things that we are doing, all the nonsense that is happening in this world. It is still going on. And in spite of all the envy, we are in this world. Prime reason is, number one, is we are envious of the Lord. And in spite of all that, he's so liberal. And he's so giving, he's still giving all these kind of benefits, material riches, everything. Who can be more liberal than this? We, on the other hand, are not liberal at all. We are, but the pure devotees are liberal. The pure devotees, like the Lord, are very liberal. And that is also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't remember exactly the verse, but there is a verse which talks about how the pure devotees are liberal like the Lord and very considerate, very kind and very awarding, forgiving. And liberal encompasses so many elements in it. Not only just awarding riches, material benefits like this, that being forgiving, very kind, and in fact, that is what Krishna is doing in spite of all our envy and moving away from Krishna and doing all the nonsense in this world. He still kept us in a good condition. So, as we practice devotional service, it is always good for us to recollect, even though this kind of liberal nature cannot be artificially obtained, but by sincerely practicing devotional service, we will get all the good qualities that are associated with the devotional service. And one of those good qualities is being liberal, very kind to others. There are so many people around us who are struggling, for they may not even be able to worship Krishna, but we have to be liberal and wait for the moment. There will be some day that they will turn towards Krishna, and we will have to wait for that moment. And even when we look at people around us, we may think they are not devotees and we are devotees, and say, neither, we are also devotees in progress. So many things have to be done, and they are also devotees in making. And therefore, we have to be very careful when we interact with people, devotees or not. We have to be very careful with interacting, because maybe our progress could get stalled at some point of time. But those whom we are criticizing might progress much faster than us and become a pure devotee and even get liberated out of material existence before we do. So we have to be very careful in our interaction with others and take example and see how Krishna is behaving, how the pure devotees are behaving, and how liberal they are in their interaction. This is my last slide of the day. That the Supreme Lord is a master of all mystics. So this is cited in the Bhagavad Gita itself, actually in multiple time, places in Bhagavad Gita. 18.78 is the famous one, of course, where Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna. So that verse, Krishna is described as the Supreme Personality of God, Hari, who is the master of all mystic power. I took this translation from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, so that's why it says like this. Personality of God, Hari, who is the master of all mystic power. And then it's also in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna shows the universal form. That's why I have the picture of the universal form here. Yogeshwara Tato Netvam. So where, oh my Lord, oh master of all mystic power. The word mystic power also appears there. Kindly show me that unlimited universal form. So since this particular verse talks about the mystic powers of Krishna, so I cited two verses in the Bhagavad Gita where it talks about the mystic power of Krishna. And he's the master of all mystics. But then there is a thing here which we should see, that Jiva Goswami actually says in his Krishna Sandarbha, and there are some citations of this also in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, where it's not just the Lord, but the devotees will also have these mystic powers. These mystic powers, and for reference, I took the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. This appears in the Uddhava Gita, where Krishna instructs Uddhava. This is a separate chapter on mystic powers. And where Krishna narrates that there are 18 mystic powers, 8 primary, 10 secondary. I didn't list all the secondary mystic powers. I just listed a few of them. But if you take a look at these verses, it will give you the exact mystic powers which Krishna himself says, and these are for the devotees to obtain. It's not like the devotees are going to go and do all this, they're going to go and get these mystic powers, but we should understand that the results that are obtained through karma yoga, through ashtanga yoga, through jnana yoga are automatically realized by bhakti yoga. That means that the pure devotees can do all of these. The pure devotees can do all of these, but they never worked for this. Even in spite of not working for this, these kind of siddhis are automatically available at their disposal, even though they are not working towards it, or they may never even use it. They may never even use these, because these siddhis are not very important for them. When they are in constant interaction with the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is the use of these siddhis? So the 8 primary siddhis are actually there in these verses, 15th chapter, verse 4, 5, anima, becoming smaller than the smallest, mahima, becoming greater than the greatest, laghima, becoming lighter than the lightest, Prapti, that one acquires whatever one desires. Prakamya, one experiences any enjoyable or object. Ishita, to manipulate the subpotencies of Maya. Okay, Vashita, so this is to control, without any impairment, you can control the modes of material nature. The last one is there, I've stated it as it is, as what is written in the Bhagavatam, Kama Vashayita. So this is to obtain anything from anywhere. This eighth one, there are differences in among the some different scriptures. Some of them include that as the fourth one as Garima, becoming heavy. But the Bhagavatam lists this as Kama Vashayita. Okay, so these are the eight primary mystic powers, the called as the Ashtama Siddhi, the eight primary powers that are automatically obtained after. But the yogis have to do tremendous amount of effort in order to obtain these eight mystic powers. And the devotees neither care about this, but they automatically have it too. So, but these mystic powers are not easily obtained. The Bhagavatam actually talks about all these mystic powers in various cantos, which the devotees have automatically obtained, like the Kumaras. If you remember, recollect the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam to the assembly of Prithu Maharaj. So when the Kumaras, when they came, at that time, they came in these air, they mystically appeared, okay? They came in these airplanes. So that's why Prabhupada talks about in the purport as purport about easy travel to other planets. So where these Kumaras, you know, they are in the Siddha Loka, so they can easily transfer. They're transferred from one planet to the other planet. So, and then Bhagavatam also discusses 10 secondary mystic powers for the individual souls that I clearly put here as individual souls, because we have to strive to get these things, not the devotees, but the yogis really work very hard for this, freeing oneself from hunger and thirst. So you can see even now it's very, people can practice these very hard and they can actually free oneself from hunger and thirst. Okay, then hearing and seeing things very far away. So, and then moving the body at the speed of mind, assuming any form one desires, entering the bodies of others. Okay, there are examples where people have gone into other people's body and dying when one desires. Okay, so these are some of the 10. I didn't list everything because of the space in the slide. Some of the mystic powers are individual souls, but then the aspect of this verse is that the Supreme Lord is the master of all mystics. There is nothing that Krishna cannot do. So with this, it is going to be almost 55 minutes. So I'm going to stop here and we'll open this for discussion. Vancha kalpatra bihascha kripa sindhu bhevacha patitana pavani bhyo vaishnavi namorama. Thank you very much again. Thank you for this opportunity. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. So, you just very nice PPT, Prabhuji, as usual. So, very nice explanation about the reasons of the Lord appearance. You started with the reasons of Lord appearance, like why the Lord appears. So it's because of the heart of the pure devotees. So, please, the heart of the pure devotees. He appears, and you told all the avatars which was taken by the Lord, and then you took up to the subtle and gross matter of the Lord that exists within the Lord, so which is told by Narada Muni, it is eternal and also it is temporary. So, and then how it is, so for that you give explanation from Bhagavatam 7.9.36, and you told about Vishishta Advaita and the Abheda Bheda Tattva, and then you told about the Lord is most liberal, which is from the Krishna book, chapter 80, you told. Which says that if you want to, that the Lord takes everything for just to get the devotion, to increase the devotion of the devotee towards Him. So it is not that Lord wantedly takes, He gives the necessary things which is required for the devotee to survive. So, and the goddess of fortune. So wherever the Lord is there, the goddess of fortune will come automatically. So, but we, the people of Kali Yuga, we strive to go to Lakshmi only, you're not seeing the Lord. So that was a great point. And then about the mystic powers of the Lord, And being individual souls, we are also having that mystic power, but we have to strive hard through, like the yogis are striving hard to get those mystic powers. So which is stated as 8 and 10, which you told. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And the devotees, the forum is open for the questions and answers. Please go ahead. Hare Krishna, Shukrakar Prabhuji, please go ahead with your question.
I first thank Anita Madhuri to connect me to this group. I'm very amazed. Basically, I'm a chartered accountant by profession. My name is Sukhakar Krishnadas. So I'm in the movement for the last 32 years from Dubai. Now I'm in Chennai. So I have got a 40 classmates of mine who are in various parts of India. Now they are all retired. I'm 63-year-old. Now out of that, only 2 devotees have come and one has started doing 16 rounds and coming every day. Other one coming on and off. Others, they came and then they left. And now whenever I send the invitation, they are just avoiding me. So I'm not annoyed, but I'm feeling very compassionate. How to make them happy and that they can also come. As you said, no, they will come sometimes or they may go even faster than me. But my concern is not I'm attached, but they are my classmates. They have been together. They've been so good, but now they are not, they feel a piche pad gaya like that.
A very nice point that you had mentioned, Prabhuji. The reason one feels like that is the intrinsic compassion that devotees have for people whom we see around us, which is which makes one feel when we have something that we want to share and we want people around us, in fact, in a sense that a devotee like you, you know, we are following the instructions of spreading this movement because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed us to do so. That the residents Bharat Bhumi, that we have a duty to preach and to share our this knowledge of Krishna. And you are verily doing that. And that's what is, so it is totally understandable. The second point there is this verse here, which we said, probably that's where you had this thought as well, that Krishna is liberal and the pure devotees are also very liberal. And sometimes it takes time because people have already, if you see the individual souls here, we have been here for countless number of years. We have already lived here. So in this lifetime, this is one lifetime among so many years. Sometimes it takes more number of years, more number of births to acquire. But even in this lifetime, we want to help out as much as possible because that is the instruction that we have received from Mahaprabhu. And therefore we do help. At the same time, we also have to be cognizant of a few facts here. One is the different karma that different people have. Sometimes it can be a very, people probably have a very tough karma that sometimes the life for them may not be that conducive towards Krishna consciousness. And even though Krishna consciousness is not dependent on this karma, but still the circumstances can make it a little difficult for people. And we can also be understanding of those situations of the people and be, that's one thing. And then the third thing is, a third aspect here is, as you just said, Prabhuji, that when the moment comes, they may even get more advanced than us. And so, in that way, we have to be very careful with our interaction with anybody, devotees or not. And then number four is at the end of the day, when there are two aspects to this. One is we need ultimately to change somebody's heart. Krishna as the super soul, as Paramatma, will have to do that. So that means, in spite of any effort that we take And we are taking the effort, number one, because that is the instruction that has been given to us. And we simply, for Vaishnava's role is to follow instructions of our spiritual master. Number two, as we progress, compassion automatically comes to us. And so we want to do this. We want to share about the glories of Krishna, and we will be very happy when others do so. And number three is, in spite of all the efforts that we do, we still need to understand one thing, that it is not because of our effort that somebody else is coming to Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, it is Krishna himself as super soul who's inspiring them. So, and in a sense, but if we have seen the history, when people have, Krishna directly does only, I have barely seen that in many of the verses that we've seen the Bhagavatam. It is by and large the pure devotee. It is, if you see, Narada Muni is by and large responsible for making so many devotees. And the pure devotees, when they set their eyes on that person, that is considered the fortunate moment for that person. So the one thing is, people around you, whomever you have been inviting, the first thing is they are fortunate that you're even thinking about them. And but sometimes, and there is one last aspect I will share and then I will end this answer, is there is also some devotees, because the devotees are so tactful, it also comes as an art for them how to handle different situations. They are so empathetic and understand different the situations of different people around us, and they act in the most tactful way. But it is not manipulative. It's not manipulative, but it is very empathetic. And they know what to speak, how to speak, when to speak, and how to inspire others. And this tact, I personally am very poor at it. I have barely inspired any people. I am very poor at it. But I have seen devotees around me who have who are my mentors and senior devotees, who are so tactful and who have helped so many people. And sometimes it's also good to even if you don't bring somebody towards Krishna, people say sometimes, but at least don't drive them away. So this delicate balance is very important. I may not be the best person to give all the answers, because personally I have failed in it. So, but at least whatever I'm saying is what I've heard. So I hope that answers part of the or gives. But if you have more thoughts, please share, Prabhu.
Prabhu, I'll tell you one thing. The last 15 years, almost 2,000 devotees got initiated through my connection, because I was the Yatra leader for Sharjah, Shamadesh. So with outsiders, I'm good. But this friend, they're so close to me. Ghar ki murgi dal barabar. If and ye kidhar se aa gaya, bada, Vaishnava aa gaya. So they somehow, some are doing Isha Yoga, some are doing Art of Living, Chinmayananda. So I know that will not lead them, going to lead them anywhere. We know so clearly, but not able to put across, but now they don't also mind. When I send we've got a WhatsApp group, 40 devotees, and then 40 people we are knowing for the last 45 years. No. So I feel like what to do, no? I'm attached. I should not be attached so much. So I'll stop sending much of the, only few things. Maybe every day 10 or 15 I will send, but now only one. Like your today's class, it's a fantastic class, Anita Madhuri said, please come. At least come once, but not able to do so. I think I should not feel my assurance limit. Leave it to Krishna.
Krishna will inspire, Prabhu. When you have, and when even just as how Krishna as a super soul is there and there in everybody's other people's heart, he's there in your heart too. And whatever is needed, the strength, the tact, the method and approach, everything Krishna will provide you with, just as how he provides us. he will say what to say at different time. If this is what you want to do for Krishna, and this is the instruction you have received from your spiritual master, then Krishna himself will show you the path of what to do and how to inspire. And so sometimes in if you look at a different angle, great devotees have said that even if they make one pure devotee, then their mission is fulfilled, right? So sometimes it is such a complex thing that the exact ways we function, our spiritual master and mentors can give us, but it's just like sometimes you have to have a balance between number of people we have changed versus whether they are pure devotees and what we exactly want. But if you sincerely pray to Krishna, Krishna will provide all the path to make that easy too. So
anyway, thank you, Prabhupada. Well, nicely written. And I will keep my things on. Positive feeling and not having, still the compassion is there, but no attachment. Thank you, Prabhu. Fantastic.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Shukdar Prabhuji. Thank you, Jainanda Prabhuji, for such a wonderful answer. So in which he told that Krishna is a super soul, he will help. So just a spark is needed. If the living entity is fortunate, when we say just Krishna also, they will be inspired. And so that is depends upon the Lord's mercy only, upon that individual's soul. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Shreya Shri Prabhuji, please.
Your name is Jainanda. The name is Afrikam as
Jayananda.
So that I can see the other Jayananda, the Prabhupada's, the initial devotees like that. You have the same type of compassion, Jayananda Prabhupada. Very well.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Suresh Sham Prabhuji, please go ahead, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanavad Praman Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhu. And
thank you. Thank
like
you
are sharing the screen, always I get confused like, are there 18 siddhis or 8 siddhis? Because sometimes it is mentioned 8, sometimes 18, depending. I think today I see that 8 are primary and 10 are secondary, right, Prabhu?
Correct, Prabhu. That's what is there in Uddhava Gita, yes.
Okay. So, Prabhu, one question I have. This Varaha avatar, so the Lord lifted entire Bhumandala, right, Prabhu? Entire Bhumandala. Is that right, Prabhu?
Yes, that is correct. The Bhumandala, yes.
So, Prabhu, if you see, when we saw the structure of Bhumandala, it was very close, means very much little bit gap between the shell and Bhumandala, right? But when we see on the tusk of Varadhev, it looks very small.
That is how the thing is. In the last few hundred years, there are deities of temples like that. So that is how probably devotees have drawn it. Okay. And there are Varaha Deva deities. There are some actually. I shouldn't say deities, but there are these. Outside the temple, in a temple tower, you will have different forms of the Lord carved. And there are a couple of temples actually in India with the Lord has the earth as a globe. And I think it all, it has been seen in different ways by the devotees who have carved those. So when it has been drawn here in this, that is a BBP picture, the one that you are referring to here.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably drawn from also from the carvings in different temple towers. Even though I have personally not seen actual deity with a globe, earth globe like this on the tusk, but there are sculptures outside the in the temple towers and in the hallways and stuff. There are forms of the Lord carved like this with the earth globe. So what I do not know is how recent it is that it has been carved those with the earth globe. And so I think this picture should have been drawn from those things. But if you actually Google for Varaha, and if you go to Google Images, you can see a number of pictures where it is seen as a earth globe like this. So it's whatever it's like how it's depicted in some places, I guess so.
Okay.
But you're correct, Prabhu. It's Bhoomandala.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Sir, Prabhu, one question. In this avatar, whom did the Lord satisfy, Prabhu, in this Varaha avatar? Like specifically, if you see.
Oh, there were so many, the denizens of the heaven, there were so many of them standing. So you see in this picture also, Prabhu, they're all standing there. Brahma is there. All of them are standing and then watching this whole thing. It's for the all these devotees. They're all standing there and watching this whole event. And they are showering flowers at the end. They're all waiting for it because this fight is going on for so long. They all wanted Lord Varaha to end this. And so they're all so happy here. And it is also for, you know, and there was a dire need at the same time, you know, because the Bhoomandala was submerged as well. But the answer to it is your question is actually there in this slide itself. All of them are watching from up.
Okay. So, Prabhu, one more question on this. This from this chapter, we hear that Lord Shiva came from the forehead of Brahmaji when Brahma was angry with. And then we hear in this chapter also that from Ananta Dev also Lord Shiva came. Like one form of Rudra. So, how to understand this, Prabhu?
So, there are 12 Rudras. Okay. So, they're all from different... if you see, Brahma Samhita also talks about a Rudra, a Shiva who comes. So, from the... when we take the... the Karana Dakashayi Vishnu, the Vishnu who lies in the causal ocean. From there, the different universes come. Then you have the Garbhodaka ocean. From that Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, the Vishnu who is lying in the Garbhodaka ocean. From him, our Brahma, the Brahma of this universe, he comes. And then from him also comes another Shiva who goes to the Kailash. So there are 12 Rudras and different parts of the of the scriptures talk about different of these Rudras, different Rudras they talk about. And even the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that out of all the Rudras, he is Shiva. So he is the, and his sweetest form is Sadashiva, where he lives with Parvati Devi. But there are different forms of Rudras.
Hare Krishna, Shureshwar Prabhujan.
Sorry, Mataji, I couldn't unmute. Yeah, okay, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Dhanavad Pranam, Prabhu. Thank you for the nice class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Shureshwar Prabhuji, for that wonderful question. Thank you, Jayananda Prabhuji, for that wonderful answer also. Devotees, any other questions?
Mataji, in this Advaita Acharya, it came, she Dada Shiva and Vishnu together, no? That's also Shiva, no? Advaita Acharya.
Yes, that is Prabhuji, Jayananda Prabhuji.
Yes, there is. He appears in that form too, and he is. But the most commonly, the Chaitanya Charitamrita says that he is Mahavishnu, and but there are. He also is a manifestation of Lord Shiva too. But Chaitanya Charitamrita refers him as Mahavishnu.
That is the only Rudra in the spiritual planet. No, all others are in the material planet. All other Rudras are in the material planet. Only
you mean Sadashiva?
Sadashiva
is the Kailash is within the so there is this Viraja Nadi, so which is the river that is separating the material cosmos from the spiritual cosmos. So that Viraja Nadi actually, if you pierce through the, then Lord Vamana, when he pierced through it, you can go into the causal ocean. That's basically the causal ocean, the whatever is the water there in the causal ocean. That is the Virajana. That is the separation there, that water is the separation between the material cosmos and the spiritual cosmos. And then, so beyond that, there is Kailash mountain, which is part of the spiritual, but beyond, and even beneath, that is the popular picture that we have, the cosmology picture done by the Rupanuga Vedic College. By Danveer Goswami Maharaj, there is a popular picture there. So, that's correct.
Thank you, Prabhuji. So I don't see any more questions. Valli Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Danvat Pranam. Very wonderful explanation of all avatars, and we have a hope that whenever we call out of need, necessity, and without mainly helplessness, right, then God will be there for us all the time. That is very inspiring, Prabhuji. So we have to surrender ourselves completely. That is the main lesson I got from today's class. And you explained very beautifully. I still see that form of Vatapatrasai in front of my eyes, Prabhuji, when you said how he is lying down in the on the leaf and sucking the toe of his feet and stuff. And at that time, Prabhuji, you said that the Shiva Parvati are watching him also, and they are enjoying, right?
That is there in the Bhagavatam. After this episode, Parvati Devi and Lord Shiva will come and then praise him. Lord Shiva will praise Markandeya Rishi to Parvati Devi. It's there in the Bhagavatam. Just after this narration, that will come.
Yeah. That's also there in other episode, like Sivananda Lahari, I heard. Because that says that before Vatapatra Sai, the Kailasa, Shiva, and they are already existing. Right? Vatapatra Sai is the first form of Narayana. And even before the form of Narayana, Kailasha is there, and all the Adi Dampati, they say, right? And so they are already there before Vatapatra Sai.
So this particular event, Mataji, is a little complex event to grasp, because Markandeya Rishi is there on the earth here, and then he has this when Uddhava was instructed by Krishna to go towards Badrikashrama and towards Naranarayana Rishi, and then at that time Markandeya Rishi is around in that area. So when he is praying to the Lord, he has this unique prayer that he also wants to see the external energy, which is the Mahamaya aspect of the Lord. And so the Lord does all these pastimes for with this cosmic thing. But then once when all these things is done, Markandeya Rishi is again back to the same spot. So all these things have happened, but then Markandeya Rishi, who is there in the Badrikashrama, then when all these millions of years have gone, he's coming back to that same spot. So it is very hard to actually fix what exactly is the time of this particular event, because it happened after the narration of this happens at the end of the Mahabharata, after Mahabharata is over, when Krishna has disappeared from this from the vision here, from this earth, and then Uddhava is going there. At that time, Markandeya Rishi has this wish, and then all these things happen. It is real, it happened, but it also happened after this events happened, it is we are back to the this age. Okay, so it started where it was. So it's very difficult to just spot this event exactly in chronologically, in terms of Manu and cosmic devastation and so on. So this event. So when we for Markandeya Rishi is the only observant here. So when he for him all these things have happened, but then he is also back to this material world too. I would read that chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam will be very clear. So otherwise it'll be a long explanation. So thank you, Mataji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji. But this is not under any incarnation of Lord Vishnu's, right? This doesn't come as an incarnation.
No, that is not like it's not. Krishna has innumerable expansions. We are just prominently calling some. Bhagavatam itself mentions like about 23, 24 expansions as a major one. And then in the first canto, third chapter, verse 23 or something like that, there it says, although the above mentioned incarnations are portions of the plenary portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original. So, but there are actually innumerable incarnations, innumerable incarnations, of which 10 have been popularized, 12 were popularized by Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya made a song where it's called Dwadasha, so 12 expansions. And then Jayadeva Goswami popularizes 10 expansions. And so even though we call Lord Matsya as the first, and the Bhagavatam itself mentions in the 9th canto, chapter 1, verse number 2 and 3, mentions my Lord Matsya as the first incarnation. But even though 9.1, 2 and 3, that verse mentions as first incarnation, but if we chronologically see, it's not very easy to understand. As Swayam, in the Lord Matsya himself appears twice, at least per Bhagavatam, by, from the Swayambhuva Manu's period, at that time he appeared once, but then the one that I mentioned where King Satyavrata, that is during the Chakshusha Manu and during the Sandhi. Sandhi is the junction between the 6th and the 7th Manvantara, between the Vaiveshvata Manu, the 7th Manu, and the 6th Manu is the Chakshusha Manu, and that Sandhi is the second Matsya, which I explained, which we spoke about. But there was one Matsya even before that. And that Manu is referred to as the first incarnation in Bhagavatam, verse 9.1.2. So it's very hard to say actually what is one, what is two, when there are innumerable things and eternally going on. In this because, particular, so it is very hard to say that, right? So
yeah, because there are a lot of devotees and they're calling him several times and he's appearing, as they said in Bhagavad Gita also, right? Whenever there is a necessity, it will be Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. So I think this one he came only to satisfy Markandeya Muni, right?
And all the devotees have later, when they are able to see this amazing pastime of Krishna, it is when we hear that, then our Krishna consciousness also improves, right? So just as...
Hare Krishna Prabhupada, very nicely explained.
Thank you, Mataji. There is a question in the chat message. Is that the next one we need to...
Yes, Prabhupada.
So the chat message says, can you explain Abheda, Bedha concept one more time? I'll do this briefly because in the interest of time, it is really a very large subject. But if I do get an opportunity for another lecture here, this class, then I will do more. But today I'll give you some explanation for Achintya, Bedha, Abheda. So this concept of Bheda and Abheda is there throughout the scriptures. Okay, so that is why there are even the Brahma Samhita says Advaitam Achyutam Anantarupam. So Advaita, non-dualism, is intrinsically there in terms of the Abheda aspect, that everything is spirit. Everything is spirit. But, and everything, all there exists, there is nothing beyond Krishna. All there exists is Krishna and everything is spirit. There is no... If you see, when we are able to actually see spirit, when it, with our spiritual eyes, if we pluck the material eyes out and have the spiritual eyes in, and then we are able to see this, the world, then we can see the Vaikuntha, the spiritual planet. So then we can see the Abheda, which is everything is spirit. But in that there is variegatedness. In that there is variegatedness, that there is forms, and that is the distinct difference between the Abheda of what is preached by, first of preached in the lineage of Shankaracharya, which is not accepted in the Vaishnava lineage, is because there are verses that talk about variegatedness. That is, in the Abheda of Keval Advaita preached by commentary of Shankaracharya, talks about an undifferentiated spirit. Spirit that is undifferentiated. Let's say that you have spirit that is a whole spirit which is not differentiated. That is what is there in the Keval Advaita. But what the Vaishnava, then we see all the lines that there is a variety. What is the variety? The variety is there is a tree made of spirit in the spiritual world. In the Vaikuntha, there is a tree which is... The tree is still spirit. So if you are not able to see the form of the tree, then you're able to see it as impersonal. Okay, that is the impersonal vision. It is not wrong, but it is not complete. So the form that is described, the Abheda of the Shankaracharya's lineage, is not wrong, but it is not complete. It's not complete because there is still variety in it. So there are trees, there are mountains, there are so that variegatedness is there. So that is the difference between even two individual entities. There is variegatedness there. But then at the same time, we can see that there is the Bheda, that all these varieties stems from the source, which is the Shaktiman, which is the energetic Krishna, from whom everything actually emanates. Everything, all this energy, the spiritual energy emanates from Krishna, and all these are dovetailed to that. So let's say like this, okay, I'll give you an example. Let's say that you have, this is a simplistic analogy. Analogies are always wrong when you just take that as the entire truth, okay? But this is just to explain this. Let's say there is like a gold mountain, okay, which is, let's say, analogous here to Krishna. And then you have like gold particles from that mountain just sprinkled all over out of the mountain. So all our individual souls, we are all like the gold particles, let's say, that we are sprinkled out. So in a sense, if you see, the gold mountain is also made of gold, but the gold particles are also made of the same gold. That is the Abheda. Everything is gold. So that means everything is spirit. Okay. But the gold particles can get covered by mud, which is external energy, Maya. Okay. The external energy, Maya, can cover the gold particles. But the mountain can never be covered. No kind of mud can cover the mountain. That mountain, so that Bheda is always there. The difference is always there. The mountain is always the mountain, and the gold particles are subject to the external energy, like it can get covered in the sand. So that means if we go and stick to the Vaikuntha and be as part and parcel of the Vaikuntha planetary system, then we are not under the control of the external energy. So hope that's a simplistic way of saying what is Bheda and Abheda of the Achintya Bheda Bheda. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Prabhuji, for that wonderful question. I don't see any more hand raised. Okay. So thank you, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time in association and coming on the call and giving so much explanation, very beautifully answering all the questions, and so nice PPT presentation. Very wonderful class, Prabhuji. So we wish you to come again on the call and enlighten us on this topic of Bhagavatam. And as you told, we want broad explanation for Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So, thank you so much, Prabhuji. So, devotees, let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha Kalpa Chitasa Kripasam Dupaya Vaja Padita Nam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnava Vipra Namo 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 Namo